Welcome back. It is 10:35. Justin Akre joined by Matt Stell today. Matty T is here, and we are joined in the studio now by former NFL quarterback, including time in Seattle, Jeff Kemp, joining us here in the studio. And much to my surprise, found out that Jeff now resides here in Central Arkansas. You're a California native, and now you live in Arkansas, as I pointed out earlier in the show. Not a lot of people go that direction. They typically go the other way.
No, we went California to Buffalo to California to San Francisco to Seattle, and now out here. And it's been good.
You played
great
for
to be with you.
Four NFL teams?
I started with the L.A. Rams.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was there 5 years, got traded to San Francisco. They said, hey, great opportunity for you. And I thought, Joe Montana's their quarterback. I'm never going to get to play. Then a year with the 49ers, five with the Seahawks, and finished up in Philadelphia.
Okay. I was reading it's funny you mentioned that. I was reading a profile this morning of your father, who most people, I'm sure, are familiar with, Jack Kemp. And there was a story in there that you had recounted in there about how he would call you when you were standing on the sidelines as a backup in the Niners, and he said, you know, you did well today or whatever. And you said, I didn't play at all. And he said, yeah, but you look good. I saw you in warm-ups.
No, my dad was an ultimate encourager. I don't think I'd ever made it in high school or Little League or the NFL without him kind of always giving me the vision. You know, your day's going to come. Think like a starter, prepare like a starter. You're going to get your chance, so be ready. And he would typically call me after a game. And like you said, after one game, he called and said, hey, I saw you today. You look great. I said, Dad, I didn't even get in the game. And he said, I know. I saw you warming up. You're looking great. You're really spinning the ball. So he'd find whatever he could to encourage. And I take away from that something that I do with my boys, which is always plant a vision for who they can become, and not just in performance. Really, who a person becomes in their character and their identity is more important than just their performance. Because kids can get kind of a complex. I was kind of insecure, as loving and wonderful as my dad was. Man, I was thinking, if I don't measure up and become a superstar quarterback, I'm nothing compared to my dad. And it was kind of hard. It wasn't dad who did that to me. It was just the kind of the expectations the world has of you when your mm-hmm. dad's a successful NFL quarterback and congressman and stuff. But he was a phenomenal encourager and left a great legacy of using your leadership to make a difference for others.
Yeah, genetically obviously gave you and your brother some gifts, but also set a great example, it sounds like, as well, which has led you not only to the NFL but beyond now, and obviously you're serving in a leadership role now. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. We'll talk about the football game a little more later.
Well, I'm a vice president and a national ambassador and speaker for Family Life. And Family Life's right here in Little Rock, maybe not that well-known here, but frankly, we do more marriage conferences than anyone else in the country. We have probably 50,000-60,000 a year who'll go through live events that we put on, and then another 200,000 people that'll go through events that people put on with our resources, DVD series and mm-hmm. stuff that hold their own conferences. And I've kind of turned the corner and helped them start addressing men with something that's pretty cool called Stepping Up, a call to courageous manhood. It's kind of like a IMAX theater men's experience where you listen to testimonies, Tony Dungy, 20 men's leaders, lots of video, and then dialogue as guys about, gosh, what did I get from my dad or what didn't I? And what is it to be a man today? It's kind of confusing. So that's what I'm doing here at Family Life, is giving speeches and bringing men together for stepping up and helping encourage marriage investments rather than just, you know, luck of the draw, throw the dice, hope you guys make it, because that's not enough these days.
Is this something you got into immediately after leaving football?
It is. Stacy and I, we got married in 1983. We were in the league 11 years together, and she's a very strong leader, and I am too. But we're totally different in every other way. And marriage was hard. I thought it was going to be easy, automatic, natural. I just show up, and she'll be lucky to have me. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't automatic. It was frustrating. There was a lot of friction. And so we did have a commitment to our marriage, a commitment to God, and some friends that helped us. And we started reading books, going to conferences, watching DVDs, getting help like I would at football. You know, mm-hmm. I want to get better.
Right.
Every week that you watch the films, and then you get a new game plan, and then you go practice, you lift, you rehab, you go for it. And we treated our marriage like that. And we ended up getting so much help that we started helping the other guys on the team, and then doing it with people in our neighborhood and our church. And so I knew when I quit football that I wanted to do something to help kids, and you can't do anything better to help kids than strengthen marriage, because mm-hmm. kids need their dads, and that's what keeps their dads and their moms around.
Jeff Kemp joining us in the studio today. It is funny, and I've learned the hard way too. I definitely was not trained, not having a whole lot of long-term relationships before I got married.
Uh-huh.
eventually you get into it, and I finally took a step back one day and said, I suck at this, you know, and you do. I mean, you realize...
Honesty is the starting place, really.
Well, that's the thing, and you don't want to admit the weakness, but the thing about it is, when it comes to marriage, you really have no training ground for it. There's nothing else you've done like that to prepare you for it. I didn't get married till I was 30.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I'll figure this out. I'm a smart guy. I'll get this worked out, and, you know, I love my wife. It'll be fine. That'll be plenty. But you're not really trained for it because you've never done it before. And everybody will reach out, like you said, when it comes to athletics or academics. Everybody's happy to look for a tutor or helper, suggester.
Business, golf game.
Anything.
Yeah, we all work on those things.
But nobody wants a marriage coach.
Well, you mentioned marriage to a guy. Here's a marriage book. Here's a marriage conference. And guilt comes up. We don't want to fail. Mm-hmm. That's a number one motivation for a guy. You do not want to fail. And shoot, if you're good at business and things don't go so well at home, you'll spend more time at business. But the sad thing is, that's where your greatest joy comes from. You can have success everywhere else, but if things are struggling with the woman that you loved a long time ago and you'd like to still love and you'd like her to like you and love you and have your family work, man, that creates a pain. But, you know, there is hope is what I'm saying. And it does take the starting point of, man, maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe I didn't see a good role model. Mm-hmm. Maybe I haven't gotten the blueprints. And I don't need to get beat up, but I do need to get some coaching on this. So, you know, that's my goal in life, is to help encourage guys and women that investing in relationships takes intentional effort. I got a good example for us. You know, I think this society is a huge consumer society. Everything we do is based around making us happy and bringing a product to us or a service to us or an experience to us, entertainment, for example, that really makes us happy. So we're the customer and we're number one. Well, you're used to that and trained in that, but then you get married and you actually think, gosh, this is supposed to make me happy. This is about me. This is about helping me. Dating life leads up to that. You know, we treat sex that way. What can I get out of this? And pretty soon, if marriage turns into that type of consumer approach, even though if you don't call it that, you're pulling energy out of the relationship, but that isn't adding energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to take things and expect things from her, but maybe you're not meeting her needs. So all of a sudden, she stops respecting and loving you in the way that you really would like her to. So it doesn't start with asking, it starts with giving. It's kind of like the John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, mm-hmm. but what you can do for your country. So I know there's a sports, let's go back to sports. NFL training camp, Russell Wilson's in the quarterback meeting room, and they're training him and the Seahawks quarterbacks. Your job is to throw the football to the receiver in a 1 foot diameter of accuracy. Not below his waist, not above his head where his ribs get blown up, not out in front where he falls and stumbles, not behind where he gets slowed down and hit by the strong safety. 1 foot diameter of accuracy, leading and perfect so he can get first downs and touchdowns. Well, in the receiver meeting room, they're talking to the wide receivers, and they're saying, your responsibility is, if you can touch it, you must
catch it,
wherever it is. Mm-hmm. Take those 7 foot wingspan arms and those sticky gloves, lay out, dive, get hit in the ribs. Miss two games, but get us a first down. So what they've really created is an investment mentality where you're investing in making the quarterback look good and he's investing in making the receiver look good. And you sacrifice for the good of the team and there's enough success to go around. That attitude is what works in parenting. It's what works in marriage. It's what works at your work. You know, your boss isn't looking for someone who's going to suck energy out of the company. He's looking for someone that will put value in. And if it's a good boss, he'll reward you as the whole company succeeds. Mm-hmm. But in marriage, man, is that important. So I would say I got to wake up every day and say, would I want to be married to me? Am I acting like an investor or a consumer? What kind of experience am I giving to her? And if you're wise, you'll say, shoot, I want to learn a little bit about this. And that's part of what stepping up is all about, which reaches men in a safe setting so they can become courageous men that know how to lead, love, serve, and make a difference.
The you know, obviously the breakdown of the American family has been talked about a lot, and one of the things we were talking about on the break was, you know, the guys that are going to be talked about the most on the broadcast on Sunday are guys that fortunately came from strong families, and you talked about relationships with the fathers for some of the guys we're going to be talking about in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Some cool stories in this Super Bowl. And let's start off kind of with the controversy. After the game, Richard Sherman gets in the camera. They throw a camera right in his face, a microphone. And he is all amped up because it's an NFL battle. And he and who's the receiver? Crabtree.
Mm-hmm.
Were going at each other. And frankly, going back to the preseason, Crabtree and he had some bad exchanges where Crabtree had disrespected him and tried to kind of, you know, stir things up negatively. And I don't love the way Richard Sherman trash talks on the field. It's not to my taste. I do listen to him off the field. He's incredibly articulate, respectful, and talks about team. And he's pretty cool in that regard. Plus, mm-hmm. I flat out respect how well he prepares and plays. Mm-hmm. You know, he's phenomenal. He makes the game-winning play. Well, all this controversy about this guy, you know, yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah, we should coach our kids not to belittle opponents. But read the whole story. The whole story is that there's more to this, and he doesn't normally go off on people like that. Richard Sherman grew up in Compton, L.A. His dad drove a trash truck from 4 a.m. to 2 a.m. for 20-something years of his life. Never had education, and his goal was that his kids would have a better life with opportunities through education. And look at this. Richard Sherman goes to Stanford, ends up with a 3.8 or 9 grade point, goes to the NFL, wants to make a difference with his life to help kids. And I think he's going to. I know he's got a foundation, and he really is quite positive off the field, mm-hmm. other than if you catch him, you know, post-battle about Crabtree.
Right.
So in a sense, his dad's legacy is going with him to the Super Bowl. How about Archie Manning? Raised Eli Cooper and Peyton as an amazing men, very respectful. Peyton was voted the most respected player in the NFL. He's also the best quarterback of all time from what he's accomplishing. And his dad was an NFL quarterback, but said it wasn't nearly as important to him that his kids be football players, that they be good people. So his dad's legacy, both football-wise and being a good person, is going with him to the Super Bowl. And then there's Russell Wilson. His dad went to Dartmouth, played there 4 years before I did. I got to school 1 year after he did. His dad started the African-American Athletes and Fraternity Group. He was incredibly respectful and winsome and hardworking and diligent, and everyone had great things to say about him. He trained his son to be a hardworking, persevering, humble, caring champion. And he is exactly who his dad raised him to be. His dad died 4 years ago or so, and it's very clear that Russell is taking his dad's legacy with him to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You're a story, too. I mean, in your own right, a Dartmouth grad, undrafted, right?
Undrafted. I was a free agent. Got a call in my fraternity house that the Rams wanted me to play, and I called my dad. And I said, Dad, I got a chance. And he didn't know I was so excited about the NFL because I let all my emotion out. But the deal was I was kind of downplaying it, sandbagging, making it sound like I'm just happy to be a fraternity guy and go get a banking job after school. Football's no big deal. But that's because I didn't want to feel like a failure if it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But Dad was so excited because we love football. We've had it in common since we were little kids. My brother played in Canada for a long time, played at Wake Forest. And being a free agent was awesome because no one really expected anything. But I always felt from the beginning that I was going to play NFL. And I just kind of felt it was going to happen.
Did you ever think there'd be a day where there wasn't an LA franchise?
That was dumb.
Isn't that weird?
I don't like that. That's too bad. I'm glad St. Louis has a team, but you know, they used to have the Cardinals. They should have the Cardinals,
right.
And the Rams should be in L.A. And I can't believe the NFL doesn't have someone there yet.
You know, we have a story coming up later, and I don't know if you're as familiar with it. I don't know when the last time you lived in Seattle was. There was a story about how, you know, there was some talk of maybe moving the Seahawks out. And I don't know all the ins and outs.
I was there then.
Okay, so you know the deal about the MLS tie and how they went in on the stadium, and that was, I guess that's a story we're going to talk about in the 11 o'clock hour. But
well, it was John Nordstrom owned the team, and the Nordstrom family was lead owners for the years I was there. And then Ken Behring, a real estate guy, came in, and we had some non-successful years after having been very successful with Chuck Knox. And Behring wanted to move him. And so now this creative group came in, and finally Paul Allen, you know, and the soccer approach, bring it all together, and the right thing happened. That city preserved that team, and they're there.
Have you been to a game there in the new stadium?
Oh, yeah. We just left there a year and a half ago. My son works for the Seahawks in PR. He's
okay.
In media relations. So, I mean, I'm rooting for them, not just because I played for them, but because I have a son in New Jersey right now doing media relations, and he's being kept busy.
Yeah.
With the Seahawks.
We haven't been out there, but I mean, everybody talks about the intimidating environment.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's not a dome like the King Dome where I used to play, mm-hmm. Or you know, the Superdome. It's an open air stadium with a beautiful view to the city. It's very artistically designed, but they got the huge roof covering about 60 or 70% of the seats. I went to a U2 concert there with my boys two summers ago, and I was so pumped to listen to Bono and the crew, and I was bummed out because the sound wasn't perfect. And it had a lot to do with the fact that stadium is designed to reverberate,
mm-hmm.
and it does reverberate. And the people are nuts. You could put them anywhere, and they'd be louder than heck, but it's a noisy stadium. It's pretty amazing.
Well, that's good. So we know who you're pulling for. I want to get your thoughts on the game. You also have an event that you're going to be part of on Saturday that I guess has a we have a Super Bowl connection on Saturday, or is it?
This is Super Bowl weekend, and so we decided that men should spend Saturday investing in their manhood and their character and their future and their legacy. So we got something called Stepping Up, and you can find it at menstepping.up.com. There's a live event out in West Little Rock guys can attend, or they can do it online.
Can you stick around for another segment?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Let me take a quick time out. We'll talk more about the event Saturday, and we'll also get more of your thoughts on the upcoming game, and we'll talk a little actual football. Uptown. But Daddy said no, and I didn't tell mine. We stayed away in the middle of the night. All right, welcome back. It is 10:54. We went a little long in that last segment. We are thrilled to be joined by Jeff Kemp, former NFL quarterback who has a rooting interest in the game with a son who is in the Seahawks organization, and he's a former Seahawks quarterback as well, so you've got a couple factors working there.
Hey, I got a quick story for you. I took my son Colby to the Super Bowl when the Seahawks went last time. We flew to Detroit.
Got cheated.
And we're behind two, thank you, we're behind two crazy 20, 30-year-old Seahawks fans dressed in all the garb, and these guys are nuts for the Seahawks, and I got in a conversation. They didn't recognize me as having played. I was a nice, anonymous backup quarterback. And as we're talking, I said, hey, how come you guys love the Seahawks so much? They said, our dad's taken us to every game in the kingdom since we were little boys. It's the best thing we've ever done with our dad, and we're so excited to go to the Super Bowl and take our dad with us. And I go, really, where is he? And they go, he's up there in a blue and green urn in the overhead compartment. They had brought his ashes up in the overhead compartment. My 15-year-old turns to me and says, Dad, that's weird. I go, it is, but it's really pretty cool.
It is cool. That's NFL wow. fans in a nutshell. Real quick, who do you like Sunday? I know you're rooting for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I have a hard time overcoming emotion, and my emotion says Seattle. The worse the weather is, the better it is for Marshawn Lynch and our defense against Peyton. But I know Peyton is premier, and he's had 2 weeks to prepare for the Seahawks, who don't do a lot of disguising. Their defense doesn't show a lot of craziness. They play what they play, and they play it well with a lot of pressure. So it's going to be a really great game. And the worse the weather gets, the better it is for Seattle. But either way, I think Seattle's going to win in a super close one. I think it's going to come down to the wire, and we're going to see a new star emerge in Russell Wilson. And hopefully Percy Harvin is going to give him a deep threat that'll change the dynamic of the game.
Yeah, Russell got off to a rough start in the NFC Championship game, and of course Harvin, his last time out, got off to a rough start, so hopefully it gets off to a better start for them on Sunday.
But getting off to a bad start is actually really good for you as in terms of being a competitor. You say, throw anything you want at me, and I'm going to keep winning. That's Russell Wilson's character, and the Seahawks, I think, are like that. I'm not belittling the phenomenal team they're playing, but you know, I'm rooting.
Saturday, you have an event in West Little Rock. Tell folks about that.
Well, there'll be a bunch of guys coming together at Family Life in our facility for something called Stepping Up. So it's a day-long men's gathering where you watch four sessions of video, and it's not watching talking heads. There's about 20 guys, Tony Dungy, Bill Bennett, Robert Lewis, kind of a master of manhood, Dennis Rainey, who wrote this book, and then a bunch of video vignettes and humor and stories, and then some dialogue as guys about how can we step up to get out of adolescence and into manhood and someday be a mentor and a patriarch and set a great path for the people that depend upon us. So they can find out about that at menstepping.up.com. And either attend in West Little Rock, or you can download it straight to your computer and do it at home, Stepping Up at Home.
Well, enjoyed having you in studio. Let's do it again maybe next season. If you